Welcome to Ministry Moments with Salem Radio talk show host, Dr. Greg Seltz. Today, Greg talks with Dr. Michael Youssef. Dr. Youssef is a pastor, a best-selling author, and the founder of Leading the Way, a global ministry reaching millions with the gospel through television, radio, and digital outreach. Dr. Youssef has announced that he will step down as the pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta to dedicate his time to leading the way. Today, Greg Seltz talks with Michael Youssef about his life, his ministry, and his plans for the future. Here's Greg.
We have the honor of speaking with Dr. Michael Youssef about his upcoming retirement as senior pastor of Church of the Apostles. And we're going to reflect on that journey, Dr. Youssef, the legacy you leave behind, and also the new chapter that is ahead. So welcome to the program.
Listen, I want you and me to say no to retirement.
That's it. Sorry about that word, because we were just talking before the program. We have work to do until we see Jesus face to face, and
I'm sorry. I'm being obnoxious.
No, you just say it like you mean it, because that's what I love about you. That's why people listen to you. Let's talk about where this all started. Let's go backwards a little bit. How did you come to this decision for transition? How's that? Decision for transition.
Yeah, well, as I shared with the congregation at the annual meeting, transition for me was not something new. It is something I planned over 35 years ago when we were writing the Constitution of the Church.
Right.
Way back then. And we were part of a denomination, then we left, and so we became an independent. So we wrote a new Constitution with a brilliant lawyer. Was a professor of law at Georgia named Nick Chilvis, very well known actually nationally. And we began to talk about my vision for not wanting this Church of the Apostles to be a one-generation church.
Right.
And so we began to look at churches that have continued, like Moody Church, 150 plus years, still going strong. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we went over and met with Dr. George Sweeting at the time, was the chancellor of Moody Bible Institute. And we asked him, what is the secret? Because Northfield, as you know, was founded by Moody, but it's gone a long time ago.
Right.
Why? He said he established an oral tradition where each president and pastor of Moody Church would select their own successor. And he has to make sure that his successor will be to the right of him, just to use exact words, because he felt that when you get older, you soften. Well, he hasn't met me yet. I got harder.
That's funny.
In a good way.
Yeah.
But, so when we looked at churches, and even to this day, I give the example of two churches, two forceful leaders, D.L. Moody, which was founded over 150 years ago, and Dr. Schuller, whom I met, and was a fine man, but he did not or decided to focus on possibility thinking instead of the gospel, instead of Christ.
Right.
He preached Christ, but we looked at these churches, and we looked at how the longevity and other churches where the pastor did not choose his successor, and then they struggled, and they went to the opposite direction. So all of that has been in the mix for 35 years.
Yeah.
And I've always been thinking, okay, Lord, you know, when the time comes, will you let us all know? And every time I prayed, particularly as we got closer, like let's say 6 or 7 years ago, I began to look at this and, okay, Lord, you know, it's your timing. Mm-hmm. It was your timing when you burdened me to plant the church. For 2 years, I struggled in prayer because every time I sensed the Lord to be saying, I called you to a consistent preaching ministry. I was heading up an organization, worldwide ministry, great ministry. And for 9.5 years, I traveled the globe on behalf of the gospel. And headquartered was in Singapore, so I'm constantly going to Singapore 4 or 5 times a year. I really had that great experience, and I loved it, and I'm grateful to the Hagia Institute for that opportunity. But then I realized the Lord saying to me, about around the age of 35, 37, that I want you to have a consistent preaching ministry. So I thought, well, I'll go to a church that is looking for a pastor. And
right.
said, no. I want you to bloom where I've planted you. And so that really took 2 years of struggle in prayer, of sensing, why would a person like me, with the experience and everything else, in Atlanta, Georgia, well, the Lord said, you have no idea what I have in mind for this. I just want you to obey me. And that's why when I wrote my biography, I called it Trust and Obey.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I really heard the Lord to be saying, trust me and obey me and I'll take care of things. Because I was concerned, here am I traveling the world, speaking in every corner of the globe, from cathedrals to campuses, and then all of a sudden, I'm going to start a little church in Atlanta, Georgia. And again, the Lord says, this is going to be a platform to impact the world like you have never been able to do. And sure enough, here we are, 40 years later almost. And so when we planted the church, I just told a few friends, you know, starting right. a church in a hotel room. We had 28 adults and 16 children, to be exact, just my friends. But then it took off so fast, so quickly, that I had to leave my full-time ministry and come be the pastor. And I was really the only pastor for the first 2.5-3 years. The church was literally doubling every year. And so as we grew and grew, and then the Lord led us to radio, then television, and all of these things that I did not plan and I did not
right.
seek. But He opened doors and literally pushed me through them, and I'm so grateful to Him. And so now, at 77, I felt that it is time for the next generation to lead.
Right.
Now, my son Jonathan, who has a doctorate in preaching and a really gifted preacher, has been preaching in the church for 10 years. And in the beginning, people were kind of not sure, and it's not nepotism. And now they come and say, my goodness, really, he's got a great gift, and he's ready. I said, praise God. But for the 10 years that Jonathan is, he's 42 now, for 10 years he's been preaching, and the congregation saw him since he was 3.
Right.
And saw how he matured as a dad and a husband and as a pastor and a preacher and a proclaimer of the gospel. And they said, he's the one.
See, and that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
they see it.
They went through the process themselves. The,
right.
the church leaders went through the process of interviewing Jonathan
right.
all from the very beginning.
Right.
And then they brought a very prominent theologian on board to spend time to examine Jonathan theologically, mm-hmm. spiritually, and in every way. So they went about it for 12 months very systematically. As if he no relationship to me whatsoever. It just,
yeah.
we have.
You remind me again, you know, when Paul says in 1 Corinthians, what I received, I, you know, delivered to you. Basically, I'm not the big deal. If I receive the stuff faithfully and give it to you faithfully, then that's the things. Those are the marks, the confessions of the church that you need to honor as the church. And the church needs to take it seriously. This isn't about following personalities. It's about following people who are faithful to the gospel and will deliver what they're called to do. This has got to be an emotional time for you, though.
After 40 years almost, we're having a routine
right.
and a pattern
right.
and preaching preparations on Tuesdays, on Thursdays, and on Saturdays. I prepare very, very, I take a long time. I'm very slow and a father
right.
in preparation.
Yeah.
And all of that kind of said, what am I going to do with all that time? Well, the thought was, is I write more books.
We're talking to Dr. Michael Youssef. Again, you hear him all the time leading the way with Dr. Michael Youssef. We are talking to him about his transition. He's been a full-time senior pastor of Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, and he's transitioning. We all have to do this, Dr. Youssef. We all have to mark our days because the ministry lives beyond us. The Church of the Apostles had to do this, right? And that's why they said choose in every place bishops, yeah. overseers, who will then continue to be faithful to the ministry of yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit now what this means for the church. See, I think sometimes our world thinks of churches like they think of Hollywood movies, things like that, personalities. You and I both know that the church is the church of Jesus Christ. It's the church of His Word. It's the church of His gifts. And you are privileged, like I am, to be a person who gets to be a public servant of that for the sake of the people that God gives us. What is this going to mean for the people? You've already talked about how they've taken their responsibility seriously to kind of find the next person who will be faithful to that calling. What other things? I mean, because there's sociological aspects to it, too, but reminisce on that for just a little bit.
One of the things they've asked me to do is to remain as pastor emeritus, founding pastor, and I certainly assured the congregation I'm going to come back to a point you made, very important one, is that I'm going to be there stomping my feet, amening Jonathan's preaching. And I have deliberately and almost shamelessly insisted that this is not Michael Youssef's church. This is Jesus' church. Somebody comes to me and says, oh, Mike, I said, no, don't you say that. This is Jesus' church. I am his under-shepherd. I'm a servant. And servants can change. And so the congregation basically have been accustomed to that, to understand that. And constantly I'm uplifting Jesus, said, if you're coming to see me, don't come. If you want to listen to me, I'm going to give you a headache. But if the Holy Spirit speaks, then great. And so that is part of our culture in the church. And that is why they're getting used to a younger pastor or a different style preaching. One of my dear friends, Dr. O.S. Hawkins, he said to me, and he said, I preach in many, many churches. He said, but your congregation is the most biblically engaged. They get it very quickly. I said, well, because I made the Word of God to be the center. Not my opinion, not my ideas, not my thoughts. This is not thus says the Lord. This is an opinion, and therefore, you know, take it or leave it. And I don't do that very often. But when I do, I make sure that I don't equate my even interpretation of the scripture with the Word of God.
This is a church of the Word, and if it's not a church of the Word, it will not last. But that's the good news. Your people already see that, and so they're working the Word in their lives, and will continue to do that even as you transition to something else.
The way they saw this transition and they saw the way we went about it, they're coming to me and they're saying, thank you. We just have not seen that in our lifetimes. We've seen other stuff. And they said, this is such an highlight for us to see a godly transition, a godly process that is under God by the lay leadership of the church and with my blessing and praying for them. And the way I didn't even go to this meeting with them and with Jonathan, they had to make that decision themselves. And these are all very high up businessmen who have staffs and have companies and have done things like that. And they said, even that is a whole new experience for them. And so it's been a blessing to everybody.
Because you're dealing with issues, again, you're trying to be faithful to something that's even beyond you, and you're doing your own aspect of that. And that's an amazing thing. You've been there almost four decades. How has the church changed? You talked about the excitement of just gathering those friends and family to start to build the church. And now here you are, and you have an extended family. Now that's very big. That's a challenge in and of itself. And in what sense have you seen God doing things that are even beyond your skills and abilities?
And as you know, I take a very strong stand on the scripture, on the Word of God. Sure. I don't compromise. And culture changed, and fads have come, and fads have gone. And I've seen churches follow fads. I stayed on the Word. And the newer ones who came later on, but we have people there been 35 years, 30 years, 25 years, 20 years. So many people have been there for many, many years. And now they are really thrilled, the older, even before the younger. And now very heartened to see that now, even in their lifetime, that there is this transition taking place and that they can see the future literally before they go to glory or before I go to glory. So we just all around has been a very positive experience for everybody. I don't know that I've ever talked to anyone who would say, we're going to miss you, but you, they just all say, thank you for thinking of the kingdom. Thank you for thinking of the future of the church. And they're just really very, as the kids would say, psyched about the future, you know. And I'm going to continue to be of encouragement and help and support to the senior pastor as well as the pastors, but never come in and give my own ideas or take an opposite view of the vision for the church. I am there to serve the vision, the new vision for the church. And the new vision is basically going to be, you know, new application because the culture changed.
Yeah.
But the gospel new is the challenge. Same.
I'm privileged to be talking with Dr. Michael Youssef about his transition at this point in his life and in his ministry. So let's talk about the next phase for leading the way and what that means. You're going to have more focus in some ways. What does that mean? And so kind of talk about that.
Well, leading the way is set up as a ministry, as an organization, not to have a succession. Yeah. In fact, we had a board member who made sure that her own words, "We want the tapes." This is how many years ago she's gone to glory. To play on the air until Jesus comes back, and she said, "I want to ensure that I can support that." And she did that in her estate. And so the ministry is going to be on the air. I tell you very quickly, the man who came and told me that for 2.5 years, God told him to give me his television ministry, Ben Hayden, First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, Tennessee, one of the stalwart television pioneers, Christian television, man of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And my chairman and his chairman and he, four of us met together. We want to make sure that he is doing, you know, and he said, 2.5 years, God's been telling me to do this. But we said, why don't you keep the tapes and keep the going on the air? And his response was very simple. And that what reminded me of my ministry. He said, "I don't preach like Michael." He said, "I preached in my church," and has a magnificent church in Chattanooga, "from the newspaper, from the news of the day, the week. I will take that and apply it scripturally and to people." And he said, "Therefore, my messages are out of date. It cannot be continued."
Yeah,
he said, "What Michael preaches is an evergreen message because he expounded the scripture." With that being said, and the emphasis that was given to us by some of our founding board members, this is going to continue on. And the good news for me personally at this stage, I guess, is that I always felt guilty and I want to come back to the pulpit because I don't want to be too away. Jet lag, not jet lag, I come back. So now I'm going to take my time.
Right.
They're talking to me about having a big event in Baghdad, for example. All this opportunity God has brought. And we just come back from Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and Bahrain. So as these opportunities open, I want to go and be there with the people for a few more days, a couple of weeks, instead of rushing back, and for me to be able to spend time with church leaders in every city and every country that I go to. I had 6 speaking engagements in 8 days in Korea, in South Korea.
Right.
Well, I would have loved to spend a whole lot more time with so many of the wonderful church leaders like Dr. Billy Kim, who's amazing man and really the elder statesman of the church in South Korea. And I wanted to do this in all these cities, in all these countries. And so really God has given us an opportunity now at this stage in my life to be able to impact the world with the gospel. And then, of course, everything is going to be recorded and played on the air, radio and television around the United States, England, Australia, Canada, where we have television ministry.
You know what I love about what you just said, too? I had a good friend who was a missionary in Thailand, and he invited me to come, similar thing, because he said the problem is we've done the good work, we've gotten people, people have come to faith, but now there's training aspects of it, educational aspects, discipleship, seminary, and he says we need to keep resourcing them so that they can grow on their own terms, and that's the kind of thing you will be able to spend a little more time with, which will only then bless your radio audience. So tell me, you know, the radio audience is going to be blessed because they're going to hear this message of the gospel that preaches good news to every nation, and they're going to hear it in real time. That's got to be a blessing to those who listen, isn't it?
Absolutely. And with both America, Australia, and wherever we are, Canada, it's multiculturalism now. And and so even when they hear a sermon that I am preaching my sentence in English, and the other sentence will be a Korean or Turkish or whatever, we're going to put those on the air as well through an interpreter. And so they know that the gospel is a universal gospel, that the very gospel that Paul preached in Asia, he preached in Rome.
Right.
The very gospel he preached in Antioch. And the gospel does not change, but the application can change and the carrier of the gospel change, but the gospel itself can never be changed. Once it's changed, it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm very careful to do.
Islam, actually, that's one of their big beefs with the Christian church, that we translate the Bible.
Yep.
And I always tell them, I said, no, that's the translatableness of the Bible. That means it's not contained by one culture. It's Christ invades everyone. Final thought of living, I love this leading the way. When you're talking about how your people see that your message is even bigger than you because it's rooted in the Word of God, and they want that message to keep being proclaimed. I've heard a couple of ministries do that, and to be honest with you, I enjoy listening to those ministries long after the leaders have gone to glory. That's a pretty special thing to have people see the power of the Word that way, isn't it?
Absolutely. I love listening to Adrian Rogers, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is one of my favorite, still one of my favorite. That incredible, there's some things that he would say almost are memorized.
Right.
And I'm just thinking, he's gone to glory now for almost 12 years, but his message continues and has never changed.
Right.
And see, all those men of God who have preached the scripture and the gospel, not the fads or the cultural milieus, that message will never change. And that is why these are my heroes, these are my role models.
Yeah.
And however long the Lord give me to live, I'm so grateful He has given me such a stamina that I tell people I go harder now at 77 than I did when I was 57.
That's it.
Now, I don't understand it. I tell you truly, Greg, brother, you know my heart. I hope that I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But I am so grateful to the Lord.
Okay, it's just personal reflections. It has to be somewhat amazing to think about what God has done in your life, in your family.
Now, my gratitude to God to be a servant of Jesus, to proclaim the gospel, that is a privilege that I can never comprehend. I haven't been able to comprehend in the last 62 years of walking with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But to give me the quadruple blessing to be able to plant a church from the beginning, and to watch how His power, the power of the gospel, transform lives and change lives. And instead of my fighting past battles or what the past preachers have done or what past this have done, that I was able to lead forward, that is a privilege. I will never comprehend until I get to heaven.
Right.
But my gratitude is what wakes me up in the middle of the night just to sing and praise God. Literally.
Thank you.
In gratitude and thanksgiving.
Do you have hobbies that you're looking forward to also doing a little bit?
This is really interesting because about 4 years ago, so we were in England celebrating 20 years of ministry in the UK.
Okay.
And there were a couple of reporters, Christian radio as well as others. And one lady said to me, people at your age are putting their feet up, sitting on the beach or playing golf. Lady, I said, if I do that, I would be dead tomorrow. There's nothing bores me than sitting down and doing nothing. And so my hobby is writing and ministering and serving. And that is really the joy of my life. And being with people, being with leaders, and being able to minister to leaders and serve them in any way I can, which I will be able to do that more, make myself available to other young pastors if they want to, from wherever they may be, calling and talking, asking if I can help in any way. So I'm going to make myself more available now than ever. So that will be my hobby.
That's your hobby. What a journey, Dr. Michael Youssef, this time of transition to new things, also celebrating older things and being useful in God's hands. What a beautiful life to live, folks. And every one of us can live that life of being useful in His hands. Keep speaking, keep writing, keep sharing the gospel, Dr. Youssef. It has been a privilege to be with you today. And God go with you in this new time of your life for you and your family. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Greg. The Lord bless you and your ministry.
Thank you as well.
You've been listening to Ministry Moments with Salem Radio talk show host Dr. Greg Seltz, talking with Dr. Michael Youssef. For more information about the Leading the Way radio broadcast, check our station website program log. Thank you for joining us.